This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Shouldn't you be at work?
Oh, here's Gascoigne. Gascoigne, he can finish it here! Paul Gascoigne! 2-0!
Lampard! Brilliant!
It was in, now!
That surely crossed the line!
Oh, it's in!
It's so far in!
Thanks very much, Sepp Blatter.
Clean sheet, I call it, is one of the most important things in football.
Nice to see home fans booing you.
Emil Heskey, could it be five? Yes, it is!
Paul Bowden to take it. Oh, and he's hit the crossbar!
Gerrard, it's Carroll! What a goal by the England striker! That's why he was brought in, and he's done the job.
Saved! John Pickford!
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, it happened!
No!
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin, Will He Score? It is episode 11 of our Euro specials, and England are still in it. Semi-final preview, here
we go. Let's be honest, Scott. We haven't played since the last episode.
That's also true.
He couldn't have gone out.
I'm Chris Cole. Joining me as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
And fresh from visiting Area 51 with his pal, Joe Biden. It's Michael Martin.
Hello.
How are you both?
Good.
Can we start
Shall we
with
say
this...
when we're recording this?
Yeah. Can we start with this violent disagreement we're having? You two believe
that Spain
and Italy are good.
I think they're brilliant. I'm watching the Spain and Italy game. The speed, so we should say we're recording this during the extra time because I need to go to bed and Michael needs to edit it. So we don't know who's going to win. I think, and Michael, you agree with me, they're great, right?
Yeah, I think both two very, very good teams, much better than anyone we've faced, who have very kind of opposing but complementary styles in terms of the spectacle of a match.
What they look to me like, watching these two teams pegging it up and down on my phone as I sit in the dark with my ill baby, is they look like... He's fine, by the way. Don't worry. He's just had some jabs, guys. That sounded worse than it was. Cowpock does wonders. They look like... You know, you can do FIFA on like amateur professional and then there's one above that.
Yeah.
You put it onto world class by mistake and they're so fast. And you just
what are you on
the
about?
Ball.
There's misplaced passes happening every couple of seconds.
Of course there's
because strikers
they're so
speedy. Going through and going, smashing it into the top tier. There's rank amateurish all over this match.
Skull.
I can't. And if, the commentator.
If Michael had more time, which he doesn't because it's currently 3 minutes to 10, I'd get him to edit this speech with some of the things you said after the Scotland game and some of the things you said after the Czech Republic game.
They're just replaying Morata's equaliser for Spain. Then Donnarumma has dived the wrong way. Like, how do you... He's one-on-one. He's practically one-on-one. How can you dive the wrong way? I don't know.
Not even getting involved in this.
Can I just say it, Bill? Have you seen the?
You've swung from one of the most annoying talk sport callers to the other end. You've gone from the one that hates England and wants and can't believe how bad they are to the one that despises European football because it's not rudimentary enough.
Well, I do you know what? It's funny. I had the commentary off and I wasn't looking at my phone for a good 20 minutes. I was like, this is a poor game. And then I turned on the commentary. The commentators are raving about it. You're all on WhatsApp going,
how good. Everyone in the world except you raving about it.
Could say as well, there's one guy on the Italy bench that every time he comes up, I chuckle to myself and I'm like, who is that guy? Do you remember the one I mean? He's got like a moustache, really black, like thick black rimmed glasses. It's like Mr. Magoo.
It's Mario. It's Mario.
Like he's got such a distinctive look. It's like, he's so like distinctive. It's like having Amy Winehouse on the bench or something. You're just like, what is that? Like
a skull. I haven't checked, but if you're worried that the whole world except you is really enjoying this game and thinks they're two great footballing nations, I haven't checked, but judging by his output so far, I think you'd probably enjoy Danny Baker's Twitter, because I imagine he's found a reason to hate the experience of watching it tonight.
Well, I will say this. I tweeted earlier, hot take alert, Spain and Italy are rubbish. Just the 41 likes. Now, I don't know how many people are on Twitter, but I think it's more than 41.
Skull, have you broken the internet? Less of the 9 o'clock news, Skull.
From the headquarters of ITN, news at 10 with
Chris Skull.
Yuri Geller in league with the CIA. Glenn Hoddle releases new single. And how Steve Frogger met his wife.
I've got to say, I think you've got the first two headlines in the wrong order in terms of my excitement for them. Don't know about you, Michael.
Yeah, I'm so over the Yuri Geller nonsense.
All right, last one on Yuri Geller. He convinced the CIA that he has supernatural powers. That's basically it. Thank you to Gaz Quillen for sending this in. The CIA got Yuri Geller in and was like, let's analyse if there's anything to telepathic powers. And Yuri Geller convinced them.
And can I just ask who the witness is for this?
Well, the CIA, according to some of the reports that Gaz has sent me, they're actually on the CIA, like...
Oh, wow.
It's on the website. It's on the document repository, the stuff they did with him.
They brought him in?
They brought him in and did a load of tests. I flicked through some of them, but he convinced the CIA. They basically reached the conclusion there's something to this. He's got powers. But, he's just a magician. Get Paul Daniels down there.
Are you sure that's on CIA.com and it's not on, like...
CIA, yeah. Yeah.
A CIA hyphen. Is it one of those ones where it looks a bit like the website, so you fall for it?
Look, I'm going to have a look at this link just to make sure I'm not a victim of some scam. But it's CIA.com.
Please tell me you haven't donated £100 to get these documents, Skull.
I just needed to donate the money and then to release the funds that they could then give back to me.
This is by James Randi. James Randi's the big debunker of him, isn't it?
Yeah, he is actually, isn't he? Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? The magic of Yuri Geller. But anyway, I think, should we just agree?
Should we move on to Glenn Hoddle?
This is the end of the Yuri Geller investigations. Now look.
Is this the end of the Yuri Geller?
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it?
I mean, I'd love it to be. I thought me spending a day putting little concrete statues around Wembley would be the end of it, but...
If anything, it was the only time England played badly in the whole tournament, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, but imagine how badly they would have played if I hadn't done that.
So, you know, Glenn Hoddle was on the Masked Singer. Well, James Higson's pointed out that he's actually released a couple of new singles on Spotify. He's got 90,000 streams. Now, there's two songs he's released.
Wow.
The Life You Give and Cause We're England.
Cause We're England sounds like my scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels like a kind of lost terrible Britpop also ran band, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like it would have been perfect coming out when Glenn was the England manager.
So when was this released? Very recently?
Yeah, like
this
year. A couple of weeks ago, yeah.
It's mad to think that Glenn Hoddle's still releasing music and the Smiths aren't.
Do you know, so that's Terry Venables released the Swing album, didn't he? And then Glenn Hoddle.
Which England manager would you be most exciting about releasing a single?
I'd love to see Roy.
Fabio Capello.
Roy Hodgson. I don't know what it would be, but I would love to see it.
Well, Roy's got very... He's got very highbrow tastes, hasn't he? So he's probably into kind of quite alternative music. He's probably into like opera and stuff, in which case I'd love to hear Roy Hodgson's...
It's just another Swing album, isn't it? That's what they all do. All those football managers.
Oh, two words. Big Sam. What are you getting from Big Sam?
He's just doing like big Tony Christie covers, isn't he? Like, yeah. Avenues and Alleyways. Is This the Way to Amarillo? That kind of fare.
Yeah, a lot of patter in between the songs as well, I think. A lot of like cheap Vegas lounge singer sort of, you know, try the veal, take my wife kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's Big Finale rocking all over the world. Here's a feature I'd like to create.
Would you go?
Yes. Sam Allardyce was 100%.
Cool.
We would be there front and centre.
Sammy Lee on guitar.
If Big Sam was headlining Glastonbury, would you go?
Yes.
You'd have to.
Who's on the other stages? Okay, I'm gonna put this out there, right? So it's the main stage is someone you'd like to see, but not like... So the main stage is Arctic Monkeys, who we've all seen before.
I thought you were going to... This festival would be exclusively football managers.
No. Main stage, the pyramid, is Arctic Monkeys, right? Which will be good. In the John Peel is Sam Allardyce and Sammy Lee.
Out of curiosity, you're definitely going, aren't you? And if you're not going, you're asking, aren't you? You're spending the whole time going, what happened?
Do you think you could get your wife to go with you, Scott?
Absolutely not.
I wouldn't want the responsibility of anyone coming with me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It'd be awful if the group decided to go with you and it was on you.
Yeah, I convinced my girlfriend at the time to go and see Charlie Sheen in New York at Radio City Hall around the time that he was sort of that mad kind of celebrity drug fueled. And they were about $200 a ticket, and it was one of the worst nights of my life. It was it was so bad.
It's funny you say that. Because Charlie Sheen crossed my mind. If you heard Big Sam's putting on a show, the same thing I thought with Charlie Sheen, which is like, what is this going to be? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you exactly what it was. It was Charlie Sheen on stage. Charlie Sheen on stage, drunk, or at least high on something, telling half-formed anecdotes, checking his watch every 5 minutes. At the 45-minute mark, he got his two girlfriends out who... You know, they were a couple of characters. And then at 50 minutes, which I think was his legally allotted time, he just got up and just walked off the stage and just left.
Jesus,
people were livid.
I think you'd get a much more professional performance from Big and Little Sam.
Good. Please, Quickly Kevin listeners, can you send in your imagined Big Sam set lists?
Well, please do, yeah. But we've got so much good correspondence, so much that we need to get on with the correspondence, actually, to get through some of the good stuff. But we will. Well, let's get into it.
Hang on, Steve.
Sorry about that.
Do you know what? If you're going to just cut me off, fuck you. Just go on. I'm not terrible. I was ready. But if you're going to be like that about it, don't worry.
It's the electronic post.
I'm Jim Rosenthal, and this is the Electronic Postbag.
You've got mail.
Let me start by saying regens. We asked for your regens, players. Do you want to just describe regens, Michael, just briefly?
So it's on especially earlier versions of Championship Manager, when a player would retire, say, for instance, you know, Paul Gascoigne or Diego Maradona, the computer would... regenerate that player's stats, but as a youth player with a different name. So if you sort of knew how to search for them, you'd basically get a 17 or 18 year old Diego Maradona, and he'd be called, you know, Giuseppe Diego or something like that.
Yes. Well, Ned Potter, also, this was also suggested by Vince Massara, who doesn't listen to the podcast after what Skull said about Italy, I imagine. Ned Potter. And this is the ultimate regen. I'd like to nominate Erling Haaland,
yeah,
quintessential Champman regen.
If anything, Haaland is when someone's gone into the data editor and just made a player completely unrealistic and just done 20s for everything.
What he says, he ticks all the boxes. He's really good, really young, unrealistic stats, pace 20 despite being 6'4", and much better than anyone else from his country. Plus, if I'd had him on Championship Manager, I'd fondly imagine him as the son of Alfie Inge Haaland. He's made a professional debut for Molde in 2017, which means he's presumably a regen of Luca Toni, who retired in 2016. Incidentally, look out for the crop of regens who made their debuts in 2018 emerging over the next few years, because it's the year before Kaká, Lahm, Lampard and Alonso all retired. As did Totti, who I'm fairly sure is João Félix. But yes, excitingly, Ronaldinho didn't officially retire until 2018, meaning there's a chance that 2019 debutant Jude Bellingham is his regen. Yes, please. Superb from Ned Potter.
Really
Do you want some more regens?
Yeah.
This is from Mike Potter. Just a quick one on who I believe the ultimate current player for regen of a previous player. I give you Leeds youth player and current Sampdoria midfielder, Ronaldo Vieira.
That's one of those where the name is just so suspicious.
I believe it was Sensible World of Soccer that used to regenerate players using mashups of names who were already in the game. So you'd get a youth player named Steven Shearer or Brian Del Piero. When I saw Ronaldo Vieira's name, I felt sure we were looking at the product of two parents obsessed with 90s, early 2000s football. He also adds, we're also living through an era of sons of 90s footballers breaking to top European teams. All of them feel like regens to me. We have Erling Haaland, Federico Chiesa, Marcus Thuram, Justin Kluivert, Ian Asadji, Giovanni Reyna, and Timothy Weah. I didn't know about Timothy Weah, did you?
Timothy Weah? No, first time.
Yeah. Also, Man City have in their youth team Liam Delap as well. It's a very exciting time for regens all round, isn't it? Thank you to Mike Potter for that. Michael.
Yeah.
Hold on to your effing hat, because Chris has, not Chris Skull, but a different Chris, has sent us. He must work for them. I don't know how he's got it, but the National Grid readout, England versus Germany.
The most recent one?
Yeah, 29th of June. He's got the National Grid graph. I almost just copied that onto the wrong WhatsApp group, and that would have been absolutely mortifying. Always just sent the Whittaker WhatsApp group. My dad would have enjoyed it, to be fair. So here is the National Grid. We'll put it on our Instagram. Obviously, we know what people like. So he says, I appreciate you've been National Grid heavy in the last few days, but I thought it'd be pertinent to give Michael's assumption that nobody was making tea 0-0 during the Germany game due to being too tense. On the contrary, you can see the halftime and full. Look at the burst of energy used at halftime and full time there, Michael. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing a spike in energy usage. I'm not disputing that. I'm just curious as to how he knows that that's cups of tea being made.
Absolutely. Not our funniest email, but genuinely, I'm absolutely fascinated by the National
Grid.
Yeah,
I'm on board.
We will put that on our Instagram so you can all enjoy it. Have we got time for one more?
Yeah.
I can't believe I haven't done this. We've had so many emails on this, all answering our question. Do I remember? We've never had a Do I Remember This Right that's got so many people saying, yes, this is true. Thank you to everyone, but this is from Daniel McGee. Listening to the previous episode, I also half remember the Do I Remember This Right regarding Diego Maradona picking a player for World Cup 2010 off the back of a dream. After a little research, I found it is true. He didn't pick Javier Zanetti, despite that being the treble winning season he played at Inter. Instead, he picked virtual unknown colon veteran Ariel Garce, who was called up instead because Maradona had a dream.
On that, Chris, friend of Michael, Chris Slowly, sent me this article that's been translated from the Argentinian media around the time. But yeah, Garce, he'd played for like the team that finished in 14th place in Argentina, but he hadn't really played at all. It was a crazy decision. There's pictures of flags at the game where they're like, people, is it like they're implying to him, bring us home some nice biscuits from your like your journey abroad. The other mad thing I read about him was that he had tickets to the World Cup as a fan.
Yeah.
So Maradona called him and said, "Oh no, you forget the tickets. You're going to be in the squad." And he's done interviews afterwards going, "I knew it was crazy, but it was the best moment of my life."
That's mad.
Like, no one can take that from me.
I'm just going to read you his four appearances by year in the Argentinian national team. 2003, two appearances. 2004, no appearances. 2005, no appearances. 2006, no appearances. 2007, no appearances. 2008, no appearances. 2009, no appearances. And then two appearances in 2010, which was the year Maradona selected him in the World Cup. He didn't feature in any match.
No.
That is astonishing, isn't
it? Him and the two sub-goalkeepers were the only people not to spend a single minute on the field during the whole World Cup.
Absolutely mad.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane. Because surely he was part of the training camp, like the sort of, you know, when they get everyone together before he finalizes the squad. And then everyone is going to go, yeah, he's not good enough. Like, this is crazy that he's here. Over Zanetti.
So something else I read about it was that he didn't dream that this guy had got the winner or anything. The quote I read was that he dreamt they'd won the World Cup. But when he thought back to the dream, the only bloke he could remember being around was this guy, this Ariel Garce. So it wasn't even like he'd got a winner in the dream or anything. He just remembered kind of winning the World Cup, like celebrating, and he was there. So he's like, oh, I'll just bring him then.
That's mad. Put him on the coaching staff.
You know he's got tickets. You know he's already going.
That's insane. I've just caught a glimpse of the Italian guy you were talking about, Skull, the coach. Yeah. He does look like he's wearing one of those comedy spy glasses and mustaches. You know, when you're like, yeah, it's quite the look.
He's so striking, isn't he? As soon as you notice him, you're like, "What? What is that guy?"
Thank you for everyone that wrote that in about Maradona. We've got lots of great stuff we'll get through, including lots of your lineups, Continental 11s of the 90s and of the current day. This is how to get in touch.
Get in touch with the show. Email hello@quicklykevin.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @quicklykevin. And sign up to the mailing list at quicklykevin.com.
Wow, wow, wow. Here we are. The morning of England's European semi-final. How are we feeling about it?
Quite calm. Like, and I don't mean that as a sort of, I think it will be a tough game. I think Denmark will be tricky opposition. But yeah, I think there's just a sense of, I don't feel particularly nervous. I think we're the better team and I think we'll win.
My brother reminded us of something earlier, which is that during the first game against Croatia, we said that we were looking at the boards of advertisers.
Yeah.
And how we knew very little of them. We said we'd invest in a lot of the companies if England won the Euros. Are you now worried? Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed that. Full episode is available on Patreon, as will be Friday's episode. Then we're back on the main feed on Monday.
Go left! Hit left over the top!
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.